read some scripture from Psalm 24. This is a scripture or a psalm of David. It says, "Who may ascend to the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god." And this is scripture that's really confused me for a lot of years, and I still don't have a good handle on it. It says, "Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory." I'm not really sure exactly what that word head means there. If you look in the original language, it speaks about a top or a summit. I was thinking about our modern day construction. Above every doorway, every window, there's part of that construction effort is that's called a header, which that supports all the weight up above that doorway to keep that opening from collapsing. And so I'm thinking about these ancient gates and these ancient doors that people are going in and out of. Kings went in and out of those doors, in and out of those gates, through those gates. Prominent people, businessmen, maybe people that weren't so prominent. There wasn't really any problem with them moving to and fro through those openings. But when the King of Glory comes in, it almost sounds like we need to make room for him. Let's lift up. You know, let's make room for him to come in. He's a big God. And I think maybe the takeaway for that this morning is maybe we need to make room for him in our hearts this morning, that the King of Glory may come in. Oh, he's here, church. He's here. Let's pray into that. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to encounter the King of Glory. Thank you for Jesus, the author and finisher, the perfecter of our faith. And so, Lord, this morning, we just want to encounter him. We just want to see him move. We want the Holy Spirit just to do the things that the Holy Spirit can do. Lord, I don't know if we come in this house with an expectation of meeting with you. If we didn't, I pray that you surprise us. And if we did, I pray that you reward us. Oh, Father, change us this day for your glory. We love you, and we praise you, and we praise the King of Glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go ahead and stand and worship the Lord.
Sins of God. I just had this thought. Joe, weren't you at the early service? You're in both services? Pastor, is that even allowed? I was just thinking. I remember Andre Agassi playing a tennis match here in Abilene. It's a big deal, the 80s, I think. And this no-name was playing him. Andre Agassi was doing horribly in the first few sets. I mean, he was getting whooped. And I thought, oh my God. So, you know, he had to really push through, and he ended up winning. It wasn't easy. You know, sometimes we come to church, it's another Sunday. The same praise band up here, we know these guys. We've done all this before, same people. You know, this morning, let's just try to push through that normal and expect the supernatural this morning. Am I right? Am I right? You know, as people, we struggle with getting used to something. Well, this morning, let's look for something that's supernatural. Let's lean in to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So I want you to sing this last verse. Wake up, sing this last verse, sing it to Jesus, just like he's here with you, because he is. It's his spirit, we see through the spirit. Are y'all ready? Here we go.
You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet.
Here last Sunday, I chose to take a little time to get better. Monday morning, Jeff sent me a text message and he said, "Trevor, Alexa brought her crutches to church Sunday morning so you wouldn't be the only one." Thank you. You know what that is? That's Jesus saying, "Trevor, I love you." He said it through Alexa. And Jesus is everywhere. Just look for him. He's in everybody. All my brothers and sisters that are here with me today. Expecting something supernatural this morning. Thank you for being here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Kids, are y'all ready for children's sermon? Well, come on down.
This morning. Oh, we're going to find out. I brought this with me. I know. What do you think it might be?
A monster?
A monster? No, it's not a monster. Well, so this morning I was getting ready and I had my trash. I just brought my trash with me to church this morning because I didn't know what to do with it. So I know. I know, and just bringing my trash to church. So yeah. So what, this really is trash. I got to do something with it. So what do, yes it is. So what do we do with trash? Throw it away? Where do we, but where do we put it?
In the trash can.
And where is the trash cans at? Outside, on the curb, or maybe the big dumpster. You could recycle it. You're right. We could recycle. Yeah, I don't know that we recycle a whole lot in Abilene. So, but anyway, yeah, so we could put it in the big trash can. We put it somewhere, and it goes away, right? The dump truck comes, picks it up. The trash collector comes, picks it up, right? So we never see it again. Once they take the trash away, we never see it again. So if you kept trash around, what happens to trash if you just leave it around? Oh, you're absolutely right. It is terrible. It's just terrible. So we want to get rid of the trash. It's important that we take the trash out. How many of you take trash out at your house? Okay, parents, we need to learn, you know, teach our kids how to take trash out, right? All right. So the trash collector comes and takes the trash and he takes it away. Have you ever thought what the trash collector does with your trash?
No.
No? Right. We just, it just goes away. You don't ever have to think about it, right? It smashes it up. He just takes it away, and you never have to think about that trash that you threw out last week or last year or anything. It just goes away. He takes care of it, right? So do you know what I was thinking about is that we have trash, not this kind of trash, but we have other trash inside of us. Do you know what kind of trash we have, Nellie? Huh? Germs? We do have germs. You're right. But we have another kind of trash. It's not a good trash. Jan? Satan? Yes. We have sin. Right? You're going to say that? We have sin. Sin is kind of like trash. We don't need to keep it, do we?
No.
Do we make mistakes and do we sin? Yeah. Yes. But do we need to keep it? No. So who can tell me what sin is? What does the word sin mean?
It means
not listening to God. That's right.
Not following directions.
Right. Doing things that are wrong, right? Yes, Will?
Lying,
right. Sin is anything that we do that is not pleasing and right to God. So we have sin in our life. Do we need to get rid of it? Just like our trash, we need to get rid of sin. It needs to go away. So we have a trash collector. Do you know that we have a trash collector that personally takes our sin away? So who's our trash collector? God did. God takes our sin, but we have to give him our sin. We have to go to him and we have to pray and we have to ask for forgiveness, right? So when we give it to God, we need to just throw it away, right? So, I know. So what a work. So this morning, Miss Teresa and Miss Linda is going to give you a paper. And you know what this piece of paper says?
Sin.
Hang on to this. Everybody hangs on. Everybody's going to get a piece of paper. Everybody's going to get a piece of paper. Here, pass one back. Take one, pass it back. Okay, who else? Okay, everybody get your sin. Everybody get your sin. And hang on to it for a minute because we're going to do something with it, okay? So we have sin in our life. It's just like trash. Huh? I know. Sin is just like trash that we need to get rid of. And it says in John 1:29, it says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So Jesus is our trash collector, so we need to give him our sins. So you're going to take this piece of paper this morning and you're going to wad it up because we're going to give Jesus our sins. Okay? No, we're not throwing it there. We're going to throw it in my trash bag. Okay. Throw your sins away in my trash bag. Throw your sins away in my trash bag. Very good. You ripped your sins away, didn't you, Hunter? Okay, there you go. Put it in there. Okay, oh, there you go. Elizabeth, you got it in there? Everybody got their sin thrown away? Very good. So we're going to take our sins, and we're going to put them in my trash bag. And you know what I'm going to do with this trash bag now? I'm going to take it out to the trash, and we're getting rid of our sins. But God will take all of those sins, and he forgives us when we do wrong, because it says he takes away our sins. He is our trash collector. So remember this week as you go out that God loves you, that he forgives us, but we have to give him our sins, and we have to ask for that forgiveness. Can y'all do that this week?
Yes.
All right, let's say a prayer. Dearly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us, and I thank you that you do take our sins, that you care so much that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us, and that he paid the price for us. But we need to come and give you and ask for that forgiveness, Lord. We thank you that you love us that much, that you will forgive us, Lord. Just bless us as we go to Children's Church, and bless the boys and girls and all their families. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's go this way. Okay, who wants to carry my trash? You want to carry my trash? Okay, right there. Hang on. Okay. You know, she's going to carry. Can you carry my chair?
The joy of seeing a child open the boxes for the first time is just, it's incredible.
We are so excited. Many of the children receive the shoebox for the first time in their lives.
We pray that these boxes will be used to bring a lot of happiness and joy, but more importantly, the gospel to each heart, all these little children around the world.
No greater need and no greater time than right now for us to go out and serve boldly.
Oh, my goodness!
This is what these shoeboxes are all about, to go out and bring a hope of Jesus Christ around the world.
I'm just so amazed at what God does each and every year. This is an opportunity to impact the lives of millions of children, just like you've seen. But we need more boxes for next year. Every box is an opportunity for us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you, and God bless each and every one.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone this morning, and good morning to everyone online. My name is Amanda Duke, and I'm here to talk just a couple of minutes about Operation Christmas Child Shoeboxes. It is that time of year again, and a little bit of background. During the summer of 1993, Samaritan's Purse President Franklin Graham received a call from a man in England asking his help on behalf of children in Bosnia who were suffering because of a brutal civil war. The Englishman specifically asked for shoeboxes filled with gifts to deliver to these little ones at Christmas. Since then, Samaritan's Purse has distributed more than 188 million boxes to impoverished children in over 170 countries. The majority of the children have never received a gift of any kind before. After receiving the boxes, the children have the opportunity of attending the Amazing Journey. The Amazing Journey is a program that teaches children about Jesus through the gift of a simple shoebox. Children and their families are reached, churches grow, lives and communities are transformed. So now it is our turn to help with this project. There are many different options. The first option is to grab a shoebox on your way out. There are some by both doors. There are some that are assembled and some that are unassembled. Then you fill it with non-perishable, non-liquid items such as toys, hygiene items, and other things such as toothbrushes and flashlights. And there's also an insert in your bulletin that explains more. Then you can fill out a label. You can even print one online. That's the way I like to do it. And then when you print it online, it has a little code on there, and they can scan it whenever they ship it off. And so then you know where your box specifically gets to go. In 2019, our boxes went to Mexico. And then last year, ours went to Togo, the country in Africa, which I thought was kind of cool. So if you fill a shoebox, we need you to fill it and label it and then bring it up here. There are spots in here in the church to also put those and out in the foyer as well. And we do have a time that we're going to be collecting those. You can bring them anytime between now and November 15th through the 22nd is the actual collection week, where our church also collects shoeboxes from the community. And we will need help with that too, so keep an eye out for that. Another option is to go online to SamaritansPurse.org and pack a shoebox online. Those are $25. Our church did 66 of those last year, and our goal is 100 of those for this year. All right, another option is to just donate money here to Wiley UMC and designate that as for Operation Christmas Child. Those donations will go toward shipping the boxes and providing the Amazing Journey program to the children. Just a few statistics. We, as a church, packed 328 boxes in 2019, and then last year we increased that to 430 boxes, which I thought was pretty impressive. In our area, we packed and sent 8,215 boxes last year, and our goal for this year is 9,000 for the whole area around Abilene. The coordinator for our church is Kitten Arthur. Coordinator for the Abilene area is Naomi Wood. So you can ask either one of those two or myself if you have any additional questions. Okay? All right. If y'all will please stand with me, let's recite the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for your presence here in this room and in each of the households online this morning, Father. We just need your presence and your peace more and more, and we just ask that you grant us that and descend upon us this morning. We just thank you so much for the overabundance that you give us, Lord, and we just ask in this upcoming season of giving that you show us how to give back to you. All of it is yours to begin with. We just ask that you continue to bless this church and continue to guide us. Bless this church financially so that we can give more. And we just ask that you be with all of those that are on our prayer list this morning, Lord, and all of those that need to fill you in for your comfort and healing, Father. We just thank you so much that you are here with us, and we ask that you open our minds and our hearts to what you have to tell us this morning. And we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now is the time that we will collect our offering. So there are offering plates up here, or you may go onto the app or text WileyUMC 77977. Thank you.
This next song, How He Loves, is a very powerful song. And really, the words are pretty simple. How he loves us. And I don't think it's the complexity of the words that hold us up. But it's our own resistance to that fact that keeps us from freedom. I love the tone that Trevor set this morning and inviting us into breaking out of our routine and calling us into the supernatural. And the reason that we can enter into the supernatural is because God loves us. And as crazy as it sounds, as ridiculous as it is, and how improbable that it is, we do not have to do anything to earn that access into the supernatural space. But instead, Jesus Christ has done all the work for us. And he wants you to come into that space with him, to commune with him, to be in the presence of the living God in this moment right now with him, because he loves you more than you can even understand or imagine. And so I'm going to invite you to drop your own resistance to the Holy Spirit. You see, the resistance to God is on your side. You are the one that's holding yourself back from the presence of God because he has forgiven you. Now we must accept and we must go through Jesus, who is the only way. But he has paid the price. That's the good news. So this morning, you can be in the presence of the living God. Let's enter that place of communion with the Holy Spirit. Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy, and all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so, and oh, how he loves us, and how he loves us so. Do not punish yourself for your own sin. Instead, let go and accept the grace of our Father. And he is jealous for me. He loves like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us so. Us, how he loves us so.
We are his portion and he is ours. Good morning. Stephen and Michelle Jones are some of our newer members of the church, and Stephen has had a loss this week, and I've invited Stephen to come up and share a little bit about that with you this morning. Stephen, jump in.
When my wife Michelle and I moved to Abilene, we looked all over town and tried every church, I think, and this place felt like home right away, and this week I had tragic loss. My 64-year-old sister, Deborah, died in her sleep in perfect health, and we just think she had a heart attack. We're not sure. So when I found out the news on Monday, I was in somewhat shock. And then Tuesday, when the reality set in that she really was dead, I got a handwritten note in the mail. And that note was from Wiley Methodist. And it was telling me that the prayer team was praying for me. And that prayer had been done a week ago. And I thought it was really crazy that I happened to get it the day that the reality set in. We all know that the Holy Spirit is all around us at all times. But when he hits your head with a sledgehammer to just remind you, because I can be a little hard-headed, it's so powerful. One last thing I want to share you about the power of the Holy Spirit. I went for a drive to just clear my head. And my sister, like myself, was a bit of a rebel when she was a teenager. And I remember as a little boy, her sneaking out of the house and going to Three Dog Night at Taylor County Coliseum. And my parents didn't know where she was. So I was about 6 or 7, and we went to Taylor County Coliseum looking for my sister at a Three Dog Night concert. Well, guess what? While we were driving, Joy to the World by Three Dog Night came on the stereo at random. And I don't have any Three Dog Night albums saved. So after it played 2 or 3 times and my wife and I got a chuckle out of it, we pushed forward. Guess what? It wouldn't forward. It kept playing Joy to the World over and over and over and over and over. And we thought, God is really something. Well, then the next day when we got in, it had all Three Dog Night's greatest hits going continuously because the Apple CarPlay thought that we were in love with Three Dog Night. So I just want to thank Jeff for creating such a powerful church and for him giving the platform for the Holy Spirit to move freely in all of us. Amen. Thank you.
Steve. Michelle, would you mind? I want to pray for you guys. Can I do that? You know, one of the things Scripture teaches us is that we rejoice together, we grieve together. That's what the body of Christ does. And so let's lift this family up. Lord, I thank you for the testimony that even in the midst of loss that you have given through Stephen, God. I pray, Father, we thank you for sharing Debbie with them and with the whole family, God, and with all the people that love her. And Lord, I pray your peace and your comfort fall on Stephen and Michelle and the family, God. You are a good God, even in the midst of these struggles and trials in our life. And you indeed communicate your heart through your Holy Spirit to us. So thank you and bless this family in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to be part of the body of Christ, isn't it? I mean, as a pastor, going so many times, I'm with people and with families in difficult times, end of life moments, and so forth. And I learned early on in ministry that is a blessing. It is a sacred moment when we go through things in our lives, and the Lord gives us one another, and He gives us His Spirit to walk through those things together. So if you are our guest this morning, I hope that you feel that Holy Spirit that we're talking about, because that's the greatest compliment I can ever get when people tell me I could feel the Spirit in worship And when I walked in the room, I could feel the Spirit. I love that. If you are a guest, we are really glad that you're here. Hope you feel that Spirit. I hope you feel the love of God and His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you that says guest, has a blue stripe, and would love to know who you are, love for you to fill that out, and I'll be out at this end of the foyer. Would love to meet you after the service. Also, a reminder for each of you, anyone is welcome. You don't have to be a member of the church, but we will have an all-church meeting immediately after the worship. I'll give everybody a few minutes just to take a little potty break or whatnot, and we'll come back here in the sanctuary, and I'll update you on things going on within our denomination and so forth. So if you would turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you, church, he's talking to us. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Has anybody been called out of darkness into the wonderful light? Once you were not a people, but now you are a people. You're the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day He visits us. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. I seem like that invitation is tardy because you're here. So come and speak to us as only you can, in power and authority. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week I started a sermon series called Identity in Christ. Last week we talked about how we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Today's message is not only are you fearfully and wonderfully made, but you are chosen by God. How many of you have watched the old Andy Griffith series? Yeah? Yeah? Cheryl and I we've been through from season one, episode one, all the way through. And how many of you know that it was better when Barney was on there, okay? Yeah? When it went to color and Barney went to make his movies and all, it just, I don't know, it lost a little bit. But, Barney was, he kind of, you know, don't tell anybody, but he was my hero. Yeah, there he is. There they are. There was an episode that Cheryl and I watched not long ago, and it was Andy and Barney had this opportunity to join this exclusive men's club. Anybody remember that one? And so Barney, he's taking it serious, and he puts. Remember the little light blue with the little speckled suit? That's the only suit I think I ever saw him wear. And he puts on his suit, and they go, and Barney's making sure that Andy doesn't mess it up. You know, that he uses the right fork and all these different things. He's telling them all the etiquette and everything. So they, and of course, Barney's kind of blowing it. And they finish their evening and they come back and Barney's on pins and needles. Are they going to get in the club? Are they going to get in the club? And these guys from the club show up and they're talking to Andy and they said, "You're in. You made it." And then as they communicate a little bit longer, Andy realizes, no, Andy made it, Barney didn't. Well, Barney gets it confused. He thinks that he made it, and he's upset because Andy, what? Why? How dare they not let you in the club, and so on and so forth. Finally, it's Andy's job. It's always Andy's job to deliver the bad news, isn't it? Andy has to tell Barney, no, Barney, you didn't make it. You were not chosen. I want to say this just kind of stuck. As I was preparing for today, this sentence stuck to me. Rejection is an awful thing, isn't it? I mean, we've all experienced it at some point in our lives, being rejected. Rejection is an awful thing. But I have good news, church. God doesn't reject us. In fact, it leads me right into our points that we're gonna talk about today. God chose you. And I got permission kind of sort of through this first service, Marv, kind of public permission. Marv has told a lot of folks that he's adopted. And I just love that. I mean, Marv, that's an awesome thing, isn't it? Because he was chosen, you know, and my girls are here, so I have to be careful how I say this. But when our biological kids, we get what we get, don't we? I'm sorry, but my girls, I got lucky. I got good ones. Bada bing, is this on? But when you're adopted, it's like, you've been chosen. God says, I've adopted you. I've chosen you. You are a chosen people. Everybody take that index finger. Last week we saw that we pointed and we were fearfully and wonderfully made. Take that finger. You're chosen. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You are God's people. And Stephen, what a wonderful thing we to be able to grieve with you guys. It's we don't like going through those valleys, but man, isn't it wonderful to have the body of Christ to walk with us through life? Because we're going to have stuff. Jesus said it this way, in John 14, he said, I will not leave you as our orphans. I will come to you. And he's talking about sending the Holy Spirit. But we're chosen. We're a chosen people, a people belonging to God. So the rest of this scripture, after in 1 Peter, after it talks about us being chosen, then it gives us some instructions. Okay? That moves us on to the second point. God chose you. You are chosen. Why? To praise Him. To praise Him. The second part of verse 9, you're a chosen people belonging to God that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And the problem that happens in the church is sometimes we get this the consumer mentality. It's like, Jesus died for me, I've accepted Him, I've been baptized, I've got my ticket, I'm going to heaven, and that's it. And I tell people all the time, no, that's not the finish line, that's the starting gate. We're chosen to praise Him, to declare His praises, this God who loved us enough. That's why He chose us, because He didn't choose us because we're good old boy. We got our act together. No, He chose us because He loves us. While we were yet sinners, He chose us. So that we would declare the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into this wonderful light. Church, if you're not praising God, even in the midst, and it's easy to praise God when everything's great, it's hard to praise God when we're going through those valleys. Praise is, I'll say this, I've preached on praise before, it's probably time to come to it again, but praise is spiritual warfare. It is spiritual warfare. When the devil wants to beat us down, And he wants to shame us, and he wants us depressed and so forth. Praise is taking the fight to the enemy when we praise God, even in the midst of those valleys and those struggles. Thirdly, you are chosen to receive mercy. To receive mercy. The scripture says we're a chosen people. Once you were not a people, but now you are a people, the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And I talked about this in the early service, but the difference, we put grace and mercy, we kind of tag those together, grace and mercy, and we think that it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Grace means that we're getting something that we don't deserve. We're getting forgiven, and we're getting His love. We're getting something we don't deserve. Mercy means we're not getting something we do deserve. Hello, is this on? Mercy means we're getting something, not getting something that we do deserve, which means death. I mean, sin separates us from God, and when we go our own way, it's not good. God, through Jesus Christ, gives us mercy. He takes upon himself what we deserve. Now, I tell people that when Jesus went to the cross, number one, they didn't drag him kicking and screaming to the cross. He willfully, intentionally, proactively went into Jerusalem, knowing what awaited him. He went to the cross on our behalf. And when they nailed him to the cross, it was our nails he was taking. It was our punishment he was taking. And he did it. We receive mercy because he loves us. If we don't get that, church, if we don't get that in who we are in Christ, we miss a lot. We miss it. And then finally, you are chosen. The scripture, it lays all this out for us. You are chosen to be holy and bring glory to God. So we're a chosen people. We're chosen to praise him. We receive mercy. And we are chosen to be holy and to bring glory to God. Our walk of integrity should bring glory to God. Listen to this, verse 11 and 12 from our passage today. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires. And I want to stop there a second. This culture that we're living in right now, if ever a culture needed to hear this right here, this is the time. Because we, in our culture that we're in, it's not about abstaining from sinful desires. We're even within the church, you're even seeing pastors that are trying to justify sin in our lives rather than help us to abstain from sinful activities in our life. And it's telling us, in this world, we should be swimming upstream. We should be swimming upstream. If you're going along with everything that's happening in our culture and everything you're hearing on the news and all the sitcoms that are coming out and you fit right into that, Houston, we got a problem. We got a problem. We should be swimming upstream. It should be hard. We should be, man, I don't know how many times I'm like praying, Holy Spirit, just help me. That's a great prayer. Help me. Help me swim upstream. As aliens and strangers in the world, we are called to abstain from our sinful desires which war against our soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify God. Glorify God. People should be looking at us, Christians, church. People should be looking at us and going, what's different about her? Something's different about her. Something's different about him. What is it? And if they ask, Scripture tells us, be prepared to give the answer. It's Jesus. That's the difference. But first, if we're not making that impression, if we're flowing along, I don't know, this is kind of silly, but it came to my mind. You remember the lazy rivers? We've got one at the little water park here in town, but and you get it, of course, I don't even want to think about all that goes on in a lazy river, but anyway. So you're floating along, and they got that just gentle little current, you know. You ever kind of miss your exit? Anybody been in a lazy river? You miss your exit, and you're trying to, it's only like 4 feet back there, but you know, you got people banging into you and floats banging into you, and you're going, that's what it should be like for a Christian. That's what it should be like. We should be working at this through the power of the Holy Spirit. But instead, we're so many are embracing and trying to justify the sinfulness in our culture, the sinfulness in our lives. It's like, man, what better thing if you could come to church here and I'm like, hey, whatever you're struggling with, it's okay. That's the way God made you. It's okay to struggle with that. It's okay to do that. That's what's happening. It's happening. But in Ephesians, listen to this. God chose you in him. He's talking about in Christ.
God chose you before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. He's calling us to be a holy people, a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Something should be different about us. And indeed, we are chosen. As I said earlier, rejection is an awful thing. Now, if you're a teacher or a coach, especially like dealing with children, I want to throw this out there to you. If in recess or what, I don't know what they do anymore, but at recess when I was a kid, you know, you playing kickball or dodgeball or something. How did you choose teams? You get the huddle of the kids there, and you get two captains, right? And this captain, whoever goes first, said, I'll take him. I'll take her. And it gets down to that one little kid. That is brutal. Don't do that to children. I'm just telling you. I mean, I know it's kind of funny, but it's serious. Don't do that. Don't choose a team like that. Just you divide them up. You do it. Rejection's an awful thing. I was a big kid, tall kid, so I usually got picked somewhere before the end. But I just, man, that breaks my heart now when I see that on a TV show or whatever, and I'm just like, man, why would you do that? Rejection is an awful thing. Barney was devastated when he didn't make the men's club. But here's the good news. No one is last or least on God's team. Did you know that? You're chosen. If the group is huddled right there and God's choosing team, He's going to come to you and He's going to point to you and go, I choose him. I choose her. We're chosen. Now, as Jesus began His ministry, he quoted... Many of us know this passage. He quoted from Isaiah 61, and it's kind of the heart, I believe it's kind of the heart of God as us as a chosen people and God being who He is and how we're chosen because He loves us. Listen to this from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, Jesus said, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. The brokenhearted are chosen. To proclaim freedom for the captives. Those who feel like they are captives, they're chosen. To comfort all who mourn and to provide for those who grieve. If you mourn, if you grieve, you're chosen. You're on God's team. He's with you. To bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and the garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Church, we are chosen by God, and we're chosen because He loves us, not because we're worthy of that. We're unworthy. Or maybe I should speak for myself. I know I'm unworthy, but I'm chosen by the Creator of all things. This same God who has fearfully and wonderfully made us in His image has chosen us to be His people. If you'll just bow your heads with me. Father, thank you. Thank you seems like such a hollow thing to even say, but thank you, Lord, for loving us enough to choose us. Thank you that we'll never be that little kid standing that's the last one picked. That's not who you've called us to be. We are the most significant first one picked on your team. You have called us your people, your children. I can't imagine why, but God, you have chosen us. We don't have to worry about rejection or being brokenhearted or grieving, because you are with us. Your rod and your staff, they comfort us. We love you, we praise you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. As we close this last song, I just remind you that we'll take a short break after the service and meet back in here if you want to be at the meeting. Also, if you don't know that Jesus that I'm talking about, please don't leave this place without talking to me about him. Because he knows you, he loves you, he has chosen you. Let's rise if you're able as we close.
The day is brighter here with you. The night is lighter than it's you would lead me to be, which leads me to believe all that you make everything glorious. Make everything glorious. Make everything glorious. And I am yours. What does that make me?
Chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, so that you may declare the praises of him who called you from darkness into his wonderful light. We have good news, church. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you.
Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley United Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message today from God's Word. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know that he loves you. And if you want to make him your Lord and Savior, you can say this simple prayer with me. Father, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I ask you to wash me as white as snow. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to, first of all, congratulate you and celebrate with you. I want to ask you to do four things. First of all, share that decision with a member of the clergy. Don't try to walk this journey alone. And secondly, I want you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set us the example by being baptized himself, and he said that we should do that as well. And then thirdly, I want to ask you to find a Bible-believing church and a Bible-preaching church and become a part of that. We are better together than we are alone. And then finally, I want you to get into God's Word. The book of John, the Gospel of John, is a great place to start. And not because it makes us a better person, but because there's life. It is a living Word, and there's life in God's Word. If you have any questions, you can also email me at jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.